Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6. And we will read both verses together here this morning. So Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Let's read together, starting in verse 5. Ready? Begin. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And let's pray. Again, Lord, we thank you, as Brother Chim mentioned, for this season. And thank you so much that we can, as Christians, remember, Lord, that you are the reason for the season. You came down, you gave yourself, you gave of yourself for our sakes. Thank you. Thank you for a church, all that's going on. Thank you, Lord, that our people get behind what's going on. Please help us to remember what this is about. Thank you so much for this time we can gather together. Be with us as we listen to your man preach your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
All right. Keep your Bibles open to Proverbs chapter number 3. We have a little Christmas-themed series, just Christmas in the sense of the subjects, getting what you really want. Today, we're going to talk about the life that you would really want. Growing up, you always ask kids when they're growing up, what do you want to be when you get big? And they'll give you all kinds of answers. But as we get older, as we're growing, we always have these ideals in our mind of what we want, you know, the perfect career for us, the perfect spouse for us, and all these, the perfect place to live, and the type of family we will have. Now, when we have these dreams of what we would desire to have, they're tied really to a greater dream. And really, it's a dream of joy and happiness. I don't think anybody purposely wants to be miserable in life. Now, a lot of people get there, but that's not necessarily where they want to be. By the way, you know what God has for you? God wants you to have joy. Doesn't mean circumstances are always ideal, but in the midst of everything that's going on in our life, we can have fulfillment and joy. Bible tells us in Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is your strength. If you're going through a tough time and you don't have joy, it's going to be harder to get through that because you're weak, because you don't have joy. Joy is something God commands us to have. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. It's kind of funny. How do you ever discipline your kids? It's crying. It's like, quit crying. Be happy. It's kind of like, how do you command them to do that, especially after you disciplined them? God commands us to be joyful. Now, by the fact that God commands us to be joyful, that means that it is possible to be joyful. And fact of the matter is, it's a lifelong pursuit. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, rejoice evermore. One of the themes about Christmas is joy, okay? Everything's happy and everybody's happier and you know, because of the food they get to eat and the parties and the fellowships and Christmas with the family if your in-laws live out of town and all these different things, joy. The songs we sing. People like the Christmas songs. Even people who aren't Christians, they like the Christmas songs. They like that joy. And they're joyful through Christmas to the new year. And then January 2nd rolls around. Right back to reality. The new year has started. Joy. You may think that the plan that you have for your life will bring your joy. But if that plan is not tied to God's plan for life, there's no guarantee that you're going to get that. You may eventually get what you want, but you may not want what you get. And so this morning, I want to talk about how we can have that kind of life. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, Jesus told us that there is a better life for us. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Not just life, not just eternal life. Although, if that's all he's offering, that's a good deal. But he offers life abundantly. over and above anything you could ever imagine, whether it's eternally or it's on this earth. The problem is we don't know how to find it. By the way, what God offers is way better than anything we could find or dig up or put together on our own. Why is it so hard to find this life? Well, because if you're a Christian, you have a spiritual enemy, Satan. See, the thief cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. His goals for your life are different. Satan's ultimate goal is that you don't trust Christ as your Savior. Once you get saved, he switches to plan B. He wants you to be a joyless, ineffective Christian. And that's what he works on. That's why it's a fight. So if we're going to have the life that you really want, when I say that, I mean because really everybody, if they were honest, they want joy. But when they want all these different things, it's because they think all those different things will bring them joy. But if you follow God, you can have that life you really want. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 gives us six actions that we must take if we are to really get the life, the results of life that we are looking for. What are they? They're very simple. The first one is trust. Trust. He says in verse 5, trust in the Lord. And we'll never strive to have the life that God wants us to have if we don't trust him. If we don't really believe that he knows what is best for us. See, we're a very distrusting people, aren't we? You know, someone tells us something and we've been burned and this and that, so we're not sure. But we can trust God. Why can we trust God? Well, he's omnipresent. You know, God's everywhere. He's everywhere. He's always with us. So we can trust him because he is always with us. God is perfect and in every part of the universe, being present everywhere all the time. He's omnipotent. What does that mean? God is perfect in that he can do all things. He is all powerful. We can trust him because he is powerful enough to make to come to pass the things he wants for us. He's omniscient. That means he knows all things, including events before they happen. So, if he knows everything, he knows what is best for us. So think about it. The God who knows what's best for us and is all-powerful and can do what's best for us, and he's everywhere, so he's always with us, and yet we have trouble trusting him. We still think in our puny little minds that we know what is best. And so we have a tendency to do what we think is best. But we need to step out and say, Lord, I will follow what you say, simply said, because I trust you and I know who you are. Our trust in him is based on who he is. We can trust him. Even Job, in all the troubles he had, still said he could trust God with his life. Job 13, 15, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Imagine that. Job, in the midst of his misery, and his three buddies came to visit him, and that went okay until they opened their mouths. The first 7 days were good because they didn't say a word. And then they open their mouth and they start jumping on him. And in the midst of it, he goes, listen, I don't care if God kills me, I will still trust him. That's pretty good. And yet we can't trust him for our next step. We can't trust him for the next day. Trust. God knows more than we can ever know. I love this verse in Isaiah chapter 26. It's verse 3 and 4. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he trusteth in thee. See, we live in a time. Now, you know, what do we say about Christmas? Joy and peace to men on earth. But most men on earth don't have peace. Fact of the matter is they have the opposite. Stress, discouragement, drama, all those things. The Bible says, if our mind is stayed on him, we can have perfect peace, and he'll keep us in perfect peace, but it goes back to the fact that we've got to trust him. Hey, let me say this, and I don't mean this in a mean way, so please don't take it this way. But if you're always stressed out, you're always discouraged, you're always down, could it be that that's a sign from God that you're not trusting him? I'm not saying that to condemn you. I'm saying that to encourage you. Let's trust him. Maybe that's what God's way of saying, your plan's not working, cowboy. Let's do what I need you to do. So it's trust. Very basic. Now, I will say this as we move on. The last steps I'm going to mention will never be taken if we don't do the first step. We don't trust him. So he says, so we say trust. Here's the second action item. Commit. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. We hate that word all, right? God says to love him with all our heart. Now we're supposed to commit to him with all. When someone gives their all, they are 100% committed. I think of the verse in Romans where it says, and I'm paraphrasing here, that if God gave his son, how would he not freely give us all things? In other words, we think God's holding out on us, and God's like, listen, I gave my son, I gave everything, why would I hold out on you for anything else? But God wants all. He wants us to commit. Once we've decided to trust him, now we're to commit to that with all of our heart. Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. And we say, oh, it's our heart, our soul, and our mind. No, we're missing the word. With all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. It's the commitment level. Are we committed to him? Trust and commitment must go together to be successful. There's a verse in Psalm chapter 37 in verse number 5. It says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He says, let's commit our way to him, but we got to trust in him, because without the trust in him, we'll never to commit to him. Oh, I'll trust Jesus with my eternal soul. I will trust him as my Savior. But what about tomorrow? What about next month? What about 2019? Are we willing to commit our lives to him? What does that mean? Just to simply do what he wants us to do, and that is found primarily in his word. Commit. Are we committed? Without commitment, trust will be temporary. Temporary. You know, it's almost like we come to the Lord with spiritual prenuptial agreements. By the way, you want to have a divorce? Here's how you do it. Have a prenup. I love you with all my heart, and I want to commit my life to you forever. Sign here. Just in case it doesn't work. Now it's going to work. Guarantee you. I'm going to love you for the rest of my... Right here. No, that line right there. Sign there. That's not going to work. We come to God with prenuptial. God, I'll serve you and I'll trust you, but don't get your nose in this area. And that's not what God wants. God wants complete trust. If many of us were honest, we're like most couples in our day and age. We want to live together, but we don't want to get married. You know, we want God to be, and I don't mean, I probably said, you know, we want to date God, we don't want to marry him. We don't, because that's that next step of commitment. In other words, if I'm dating God, and please don't take that, you know, irreverently, then it's like if I don't feel like, you know, we wake up this week, man, I can't wait to go to church, man, be with God's people, enjoy it and give. Next week it's like, I don't want to be there. You know, we're up and down. But when we trust him and we commit to him, that up and down kind of becomes more flatline. So let's commit. So we trust, we commit. Thirdly, the third action item is we got to refuse. And he says, and lean not unto thine own understanding. If we trust God and are fully committed to him, then we must refuse to trust ourselves. to lean on what we think will work, to lean on what we think is right. See, with every positive, I trust the Lord and I commit to Him, you got to rebuke yourself. I'm not going to lean to my own understanding. The word lean means to support yourself upon. Isn't that how most of us live? We're Christians. We say we love God. And what push comes to shove or decision needs to be made, instead of leaning on the Lord, what do? We lean on our own understanding. I'm going to support myself based on what I think. That's the way to disaster. And by the way, let me say this, no matter how good a Christian you are, what you think is always going to jump to the forefront, right? Whenever there's a situation of life, especially when there's pressure, the first thing that's going to jump to your mind is usually the flesh. Usually what you're thinking. You got to refuse that. We got to get back to the book. We got to get back to the Lord. So we support ourselves. I hear people that are critical of those that believe in God, they'll say, you know, I don't need that crutch. I do. I don't want to lean on my own understanding. I'd rather lean on God. And if that's a crutch, sign me up. Sign me up. Remember one time many years ago when I was in a car accident. I was in the back of a truck back when you could do that. We got slammed into by a semi going up to Modesto. I had a fracture in my foot, so I was on crutches for a few weeks. And I was like 17. And I'm hanging in the kitchen one day, and I'm messing around, and I didn't have the crutch. And, you know, my balance started going backwards. And I'm like, slow motion. Yeah, pop! I needed those crutches. I thought, I don't need the crutches. Well, when I'm laying on the ground looking up at the ceiling, I'm thinking, those crutches would have been a really good idea. We need that. There's nothing wrong with that. Because if you're not going to rely or lean upon God, you're going to lean upon yourself, and that's going to be a problem each and every time. For sake of time, I won't go there, but that was one of the problems with Eve and Adam. Satan so confused her that instead of just doing what God said, she bought his lie and she started focusing her own attention on the tree. Now here's what the Bible says in Genesis 3, verse 6. And when the woman saw, that's her own perspective, that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes. Again, her own perspective. A tree to be desired to make one wise. That's her own understanding. You know what? She was hooked. She was done. Just her eyes. I remember years ago, I've given this else. We had a Christmas tree in the house, and we don't childproof them. It's like we teach them you don't touch it. And Aunt Hannah was a little girl, and she's like, she may not even have been two. And so I'm in the living room, and the lights were kind of the twilight, and I didn't have lights on, and the lights were gleaming. And we get colored lights because we're Christian. White lights are really nondescript and bland and boring, and they're really communistic if you think about it. We have colored lights. Okay, you can have any color you want as long as it's white. Really? But and the bulbs are on there, and Hannah's little girl comes waddling in, and she sees the lights, and doot, 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 she starts head for the tree. She gets like 2 feet away from it. No! I walked up to her. I'm like, no, no, no. You don't touch a tree. No! Say it, Hannah. No. Good. Get out of here. So later on, 5 minutes later, she comes walking out. She looks at the tree. She looks at me, and I'm like, Hannah, no. She looked at the tree. She looked at me. No. She looked at the tree. She quit looking at me. She dove right in. She got so caught up. It's like, I hear what you're saying, but check this out. Pretty. Isn't that what bugs do? Hey, what's that beautiful light? Zzz, smoke. Let me say this. If you don't refuse yourself, you are doomed to live your life based solely on your own senses, and you're done. You're done. Your senses are limited. Sometimes you see something and you think it's best, and it's not. Sometimes something seems to be something that will help you, and it's not, and you'll never know it unless if you're not trusting God and if you're trusting in your own understanding. And we have a majority of people in this life that are clueless about anything, and they just do what they think is best, and they're in a lot of trouble. Yep. What a miserable life we live. If we live our life by our own understanding, trusting in our own senses, which are severely limited. Number four, I got to hurry. The fourth action item, submit. Verse 6, in all thy ways. Now we're committed 100% to what? Everything. Our way, the word way means a road, a path, a journey, our course of life. God says, you basically take your whole course of life and you say, Lord, it's yours. I'm going to follow you. How should I live when I'm living your life, when I'm living my life? I ought to live according to what everything that that book says. Yeah, but some of those things in there seem hard. Yes. In fact, they're extremely hard because they fly in the face of everything we think. But are we going to trust in our own understanding or his? When we say, I'm going to refuse my own understanding, then we need to take the next step and we need to submit our understanding to him. Okay? James tells us that. He says, resist the devil. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee. The resisting and the submitting go together. One cancels out the other. We need both. Submit. Everything. Submission always comes at the cost of resistance. If we're going to submit to God, we got to resist Satan. If we're going to submit our life to God, we got to resist or refuse our own understanding. What we're really doing when we follow this course is we're not just being a Christian, we're not just saved, we're now a disciple. How many people came to Jesus? I'll follow you, Jesus. And Jesus said, okay, let's see how this is going to work. Take up your cross, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. Jesus didn't say, really? You want to follow me? Let me put your name on the roll of Christ followers. He said, there's some, you need to think about this for a minute because there's requirements. Are you willing to deny yourself? You willing to take up the cross? You willing to follow me? If not, here's what he said. You cannot be my disciple. Yep. Now, that's not how you build a church. Most people would say, wait a minute, but he said, I want to come. He said, I know, but he wanted to tell him up front what it was going to cost. There's some submission and there's some rejection. Submit. And then action item number 5, we have to acknowledge. In all thy ways, we submit, and then what do? We acknowledge him. Acknowledge means to make him known or revealed. Once we have done these things, our whole life is about acknowledging God's control of my life and revealing him to this world by the way we live. Amen. Now, yes, we give the gospel out by our words, but we better back it up by our actions. Right. So, look, the people you work with ought to be able in some way or shape acknowledge there's something different about you. That you know God. Not that you're perfect. And that doesn't mean you go in the break room and throw yourself on the ground. Oh, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay? That's not Christian. That's just goofy. But they ought to look at you and say, this person is different. I can't put my finger on it, but there's something different about them. Just by our life. Acknowledge. You ever hear someone say, you know, my religion, my religious beliefs, they're a very personal thing. I just don't really get into that. Well, you have to get out of it. That's not scriptural. You know that, right? You know, I just don't want to talk about, I don't want to talk about Christ. I don't want to talk about politics. If we're Christians, it's got to be a part of who we are. We don't hide that. Hide it under a bushel? No. I'm not singing the song, okay? I'm going to let it shine. Okay, we're not doing that. You have to make Christ known. Amen. Acts 8:1, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Our whole life is a witness, an outward testimony of what we know about Christ and what we know about God. And I know some of you are thinking, man, I got it under control. At work, no one knows a thing. That's not good. And I know they'll say things to you. Okay, whatever. You know, sticks and stones may break your bones. Words will never hurt you. I know they're hurtful. I get that. But still, you can't hide it. A Christian that follows this life, it will be evident to everybody. Then lastly, we follow. Acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, I know this about being our paths being directed. He'll direct us, but we have to follow. The word direct means to lead straight, to level, to smooth. Could it be that we have a bumpy road on life because we're not following the directions that he gives us? Now, I understand there's circumstances, there's health issues, and there's things that come that no one can change that sometimes we say make our road a little bumpy. But most of us, our road is bumpy simply because we're not following God. We're the ones choosing to drive down a bumpy path. And that's never been God's plan. We follow him. Now look, how's your life today? We're all striving for something in life. And I don't think anybody wants to be miserable. If someone wants to be miserable, there's some emotional issues there. And really meeting Jesus Christ can help you with those things. But most people, that's not what they want. They just don't know how to get it. They just don't know how to get it. We have to basically get outside of ourselves and completely trust God, commit to him, submit to him, and follow him. And you know what will happen? That which you really wanted in life, you will get. You'll find it, but you never find it on your own. Let's stand together this evening.